Hey, we're glad you're here. We're going to continue on with our series in John. And just to sort of set the stage, we're going to watch this really serious video.
I remember going to church as an adult, right, for the first time when I started going to church. And I would walk in and the pastor was like, he said, "I want you to pray with your neighbor." And I'm like, "Well, my neighbor don't go to this church. I don't know if you want me to... You want me to call my neighbor on the phone? That's creepy. I ain't going to do that." Right, then they explained to me, right, your neighbor is a person sitting next to you. Listen, I'm brand new at this Christian stuff. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray out loud, let alone with this lady. I don't even know this lady. What am I supposed to pray about? "Lord, help these bumps go down on this lady's face." I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I'm supposed to pray about, right? She went first. She was praying all good, and she must have been John the Baptist's little sister or something. Praying. She was like, "Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word in the 6th chapter, the third verse of the book of Matthew, the 601st word on page 1248. Lord, you said, but seek, S is in search, E is in everywhere, E is in excellent, K is in kingdom. You are the Alpha, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha." I'm thinking, man, she even knows his nicknames. Now it's my turn to pray, right? But I don't got the spiritual vocabulary to this, but I'm not going to let her outpray me. So I'm like, "Okay, God, first of all, you are good people. You know, you are good, Lord. You are good. You are good to the last drop, Lord. Because, Lord, I just got to obey my thirst, Lord. You know, because choosy moms choose Jesus. So, Lord, because... You know, as the rocket's red glare, Lord, it gave proof to the night, Lord. I believe I could fly, amen."
All right. Laughter's good. You know, I don't know if you've ever felt that way about praying, right? I mean, there's this thing about prayer. It's like, oh, do I just pray when I, you know, I call God when I really need him? Or if I do pray, you know, what are people going to think? And I don't know how to pray. And boy, it begs lots of questions, okay? Today, the goal, what we're going to go after is prayer. Because Jesus gave us an example in John 17. And prayer is like this thing that feels like this big thing that I don't even know how to grab a hold of. I pray today that God will just make it accessible for us because he wants to communicate with us. Prayer, so why is prayer so important? And then more specifically, how do you learn how to pray? So I'd say this, on a macro level, prayer is important because everything in the kingdom of God is appropriated or received through prayer. The blessings of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the grace of God, peace of God, even your very salvation when you said yes to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you confessed with your mouth, you received and praying and receiving that very salvation. And on a day-to-day level, prayer is so important because it's the relational language of a relationship with God. It's talking with and listening to. Not much unlike what we might think of in our head of a marriage. In a marriage, those deeper conversations that happen among a husband and a wife, they happen as you communicate. The deeper things that are on your heart, those needs you have, those questions you have, those hurts you have, you just communicate them because you love them. So prayer is critical, but even more specifically, we said, how does somebody learn how to pray? This is a big question. How does a child learn how to talk? They grow up listening to their parents talk, right? We want to learn how to pray. Let's immerse ourselves in the words of our Heavenly Father. In the Bible. The Bible speaks continually about who God is and what he does. So we want to grow in our prayer life. We want to learn how to pray. Let's immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Let's also just start praying. How you gonna learn how to pray? Start praying. And pray with people that know how to pray. It's been very instrumental in my own life. So today, we're going to look at Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, and we're going to look straight to Jesus. Because everything we do should be looking to him. Everything we do should be pointing others to him. And so what can we learn about Jesus' prayer life? I'm going to just give you three general things about Jesus' prayer life. Let's look at these together. Number one, prayer flows out of relationship. Prayer flows out of relationship. Prayer like tunes your heart to God in a way that you cannot describe in words. You know, there's this communication with God in a spiritual way that's happening where he's communicating with you in a deeper level. And I don't know if you've ever, similar to the video, but different maybe, you heard somebody pray and you're like, oh man, wow. Like you could tell that person's walking with God and you're hearing the very words of God coming. That's what you're hearing. You're hearing the life of Jesus and his words come out of that person when they pray. Why? Because they're connected in deep relationship with that person. We laugh and tease with my girls. They'll say something. I'm like, man, that sounds like your mom. You know? Y'all do that, parents? Kids? It was all the good stuff happens, you know. And so when something else comes up, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like me. Okay, so if we're learning how to talk, to communicate, to interact, then in prayer, we're with God, it flows out of our relationship. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So relationship is what ends up fueling the outward expression of that in your words. Number two, prayer power equals knowing God. This is a very simple concept in terms of the more you know God, the more connected you are to his love and the enjoyment of your prayer life, your relationship, and connected to the very power of God. Why? Because you know God. You know what he can do. You call on his name. You know his authority. You know you're confident in what you're asking for and what you're calling. It's like a light switch and a light bulb. The light switch doesn't actually make the bulb come on. That's the electricity. But the light switch activates the opening of the conduit for the power of that electricity to come into that situation or that place. And the power of God coming through prayer into a person, a situation, comes as we know God more. Number three, prayer is a lifestyle of walking and communicating with God. We're talking about walking with Jesus, right? That's this whole series through the book of John. And prayer is not something Jesus just did or talked about. It was just his life. He was just expressing his closeness with the Father and saying, here's why I'm here. Jesus showed us through his own life. He prayed by himself. Often in Scripture, we see Jesus went off to the mountainside to be by himself, to wait in solitude and silence to commune with his Father. And we need to take note of that. Where in our lives are we doing that? Just giving you the example of Jesus here for our prayer life, how to connect with God, how to grow in that relationship. Number two, Jesus prayed with others. He prayed with his disciples. How'd the disciples learn how to pray? Hanging out with Jesus? He prayed with others. That's why life group is so important. When you get into a context of a smaller group and you gather together and pray and you're experiencing like all that God's doing in that person and it's communicated out and collectively you're taking those things to Jesus, man, those are some of the most rich, deep, meaningful times. That's why it's important to pray with others in the body of Christ. It's important to pray prayers for the lost because it communicates something about God that we can't possibly understand ourselves. He also prayed for others. He interceded for others. He prayed for healing for others. He did miracles, but he was praying for others. And right now, we know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. And we also know in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit is praying am interceding for us, when we don't know what to pray or what to ask for, he prays for us. Now, I don't know about you, but man, we just jump up and be pumped up right now about that alone. That's crazy amazing. And it's really illustrated in one of Jesus' prayers in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Check this verse out. It shows what Jesus was showing us about prayer. He said, hey, when I walked the earth, when Jesus was on the earth, he offered prayers, he offered petitions with fervent cries and tears. Let me stop for just a second. Fervent. You don't hear that word mentioned a lot, right? We're talking like passion, you know, like there's some, I don't know what other synonyms there are, but we're talking about like there's a deep sense of crying out in a passion in his prayers, in cries and tears. See, Jesus prayed with wholeheartedness, right? We're just learning from Jesus' prayer life. And then it says, he prayed to the one who could save him from death. See, Jesus knew that God, his Father, is all-powerful, and he had a plan, and he could do whatever he wanted. So he is acknowledging with confidence in this prayer. It's not just a, well, I hope if you're not too busy. You know, sometimes we're not sure because we're not sure about what we're praying to or even about. But check this out. How was his, or why were his prayers heard? Look at that passage. Why were his prayers heard? Because of his reverent submission. Boy, if you don't hear anything else today, you go home, look up this verse, get out on your knees and think, oh God, am I praying with reverent submission? Reverent, like an awe, a sense of like, you are all those names and more that guy was saying, you know, that I don't even know. But I just know that there's a sense of awe when I approach you because you're amazing. But yet, I'm submitted to your will, to your plan, to your heart, because I know you're good. I know you're going to work out things for your glory and my best, and so I am reverently submitting my prayers, and that's why they're heard. Man, that's pretty clear for us in our own prayer lives. Okay, so let's look at John 17. Let's dive right in. If you got your Bible, open it up. We'll put some of the screen, but I want you to get used to bringing your Bible and getting into there because it's important, okay? All right, John 17, let's look at that together. For the last three chapters, Jesus has been describing life in the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's been like trying to articulate this beauty of this three persons but one, the union that he has with his Father. There's this sense of deeper relationship that Jesus is trying to describe, and it culminates in this prayer in John 17. And he's given us a glimpse. He's given us a glimpse into Jesus has come so that we might have that same relationship that he had with his Father. So check it out. It's housed in three sections, really. Okay, there's the first five verses, Jesus is praying for himself. Then the middle, he's praying for disciples. And then he's praying for all believers. Now remember, we're looking at this, what we can learn from Jesus' prayer life, what he prayed for and how he prayed. So there's lots more for each of us to take home and look more into this for ourselves. So we're only going to be able to cover so much this morning. But this chapter is like the end of Jesus' earthly ministry because what happens after chapter 17 is that he gets arrested, he gets crucified, dies, raises to life again. But this is the transition here between Jesus' earthly life and now he's about to enter his intercessory life that we just talked about as he prays for us. So Jesus is showing us what communion with God looks like, but I think more importantly, he's modeling again for us in this passage in the same way he did in John chapter 11 before Lazarus' death. Do y'all remember when we talked about Lazarus? But check out this verse. Put that John 11 passage up. Look what Jesus said. He said he looked up and said, which is exactly how John 17 starts, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know you always hear me. There's that confidence again. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. It's interesting, right? Jesus could do things however he wanted. But he's praying out loud right here, and I think he's doing the same thing as he sets up John 17. He's praying out loud for the benefit of the people to show us something about the heart of God and what prayer is. So let's look at that together, all right? What can we learn about Jesus and what he prayed for? First, the first five verses, we said he prays for himself. But honestly, if you read along with us through those first verses, you see the word glory five times in this first section. So really, he's praying for his Father's glory. So for us in our prayers, is that the first thing you pray for? Usually it's, Lord, help me, blah, 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 you know. And he loves to hear those prayers too, don't get me wrong. But Jesus starts with acknowledging Father God and saying, it's all about your glory. Now, what constitutes that glory? You see in these verses, people are coming to salvation. People are knowing God in a deep way. And Jesus is glorifying his Father by obediently submitting to the work that he gave him to do. So you say, oh, my heart wants to glorify God. Okay, where are you? Those three happening? You're engaged with people coming to salvation in Jesus. I'm walking and knowing God in a deeper way and helping others do that. And I'm obediently following and joining in what God's doing. God gets the glory. Second, Jesus is praying for now the disciples. What is he praying for the disciples? Again, these are things you can be transferring to your own prayer life. He's praying for protection from Satan. Now, I think this is really important. Put those two verses up on the screen, 11 and 15. He doesn't pray protection from illness, hard times. Matter of fact, he says in this world, you will have troubles. You know, you understand what I'm saying? He prays specifically for protection from the evil one. Let's take note for a minute, church. This is acknowledging really two key things. Number one is the authority that we're granted in prayer in the name of Jesus. Right? Number two, it's acknowledging the fact that there is spiritual warfare because there's an enemy. There's an evil one that's seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. And prayer is the war. It is the weapon that we can engage in on behalf of the kingdom of light. I think that's really important to digest what he's actually praying for here in a deeper way. There's authority in how we pray through the name of Christ because of who Jesus is. And you can step into the battle in prayer because we're going to fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. Third, what he's praying for. He's praying for the disciples' identity. Look at verse 16. We're just kind of going to walk through these prayers. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. There's a lot in this. Y'all, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not of the world anymore. You're not defined by the world. I don't care how many commercials, how much media gets screaming in our faces, you are not defined by the world. We're defined by Christ. You are now in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then there's going to be a powerful difference in your life. You belong to Jesus. You don't belong to the world. I'm reminded of Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. That will lead to living differently. That's the power of the Word of God applied to our hearts. That's our identity. That's who we are. Next, Jesus is praying for sanctification of the disciples. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. This alone you could spend an entire sermon on or more. See, Jesus is saying this is who you are, but I'm sanctifying you. I'm making you holy. I'm actually setting you apart to be my chosen people. This is good stuff, y'all. He's He's sanctifying us for a purpose. This is the power of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in the realm of prayer. This light of the Word of God that comes in, that changes us no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. God is stronger, God is higher, God is better, God is more, and God wants to transform you inside. This is what Pastor Kirk was talking about last week with the role of the Holy Spirit working from the inside out. The world loves to work from the outside in. The Holy Spirit works from the inside out. And he does that through the power of the truth of the Word of God. So that's why sometimes we say, well, we need to read the Bible more. Yes, but we also need to be incorporating word and prayer. They should always be intermingled. They should never be separate. God is speaking to us through his word, and then we're listening and responding in prayer. And then the conversation begins. That's how all this happens. And that's how we're sanctified. And remember, so we be encouraged, this is a lifelong process. Right? You and I, we're in this lifelong sanctification process, becoming more like Jesus. It's a whole lifetime. I'll be learning until the last day he lets me be here and growing to be more like him from one degree of glory to the next. So don't be discouraged with what's not happening. Just keep looking to Jesus and keep stepping and watch what he does. I love the flow of the prayers. Keep going with me. After he's talking about sanctifying, go to verse 18. Look what he says in verse 18. Now he says, I'm going to speak directly to your mission. I'm going to speak directly to your mission. Right? We're sanctified. We're set apart for a purpose, for a reason, for a mission. What's the church's mission? To represent Jesus to the world. The same way that Jesus represented the Father when he walked the earth. Now he says, you're the body of Christ. You now represent me to the world. You're joining me in my work. He says, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But you are in the world for a reason. You're going to join me in my work. Sharing the love of the Father and reconciling people to God. That's life. That's good stuff, y'all. That's what we're created for. Knowing and loving God, representing him to a world. All right, let's go do that. Now, it sounds so simple in one sense, right? But we know there's a battle, right? You can see the flow of what Jesus is praying for. We know there's things in us that hinder us. We know there's things in the world that are screaming at us to hinder us. But y'all, the beauty of the truth of this prayer is that the power, the strength, the confidence, all that is coming in this relationship with God and walking it out with others to be more like him so it can overflow and be shared. Now Jesus says, hold on, it gets even bigger. Now I'm praying that last prayer for all believers everywhere. And he says, this prayer I'm praying now in verse 20 is that it includes you, but it's way bigger than you. We're talking about generational impact, eternal impact. And this verse, put up verse 20 on the screen for a minute. He says, my prayer is not just for you, but for all those who will believe. Through their message. What's their message? The good news of Jesus, the words of God, and their lives. Your lives speak and reveal, and that's why he's praying for them, because he knows it. And that's how the gospel is going to spread to the ends of the earth. Right? He said, I sent you into the world. There's a clear admonition there of the world around you and to the ends of the earth. Go make disciples of all nations. It includes us, but it's way bigger than us. There's a generational passing on. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, some of you, you're in this room because someone understood this and prayed for you and then shared with you. Not only words, their lives. If I asked you to raise your hand, how many of you had a praying mama? How many of you had a praying grandfather? You know, I bet hands would go up everywhere. But here's the thing. Even if you didn't, this is our call, y'all. Who's going to pray for those people? You and me, the church. It starts with that prayer, because remember, prayer tunes our heart to God in a way that nothing else does. Lastly, verse 21 and 23, we see that this prayer that Jesus is praying is a spiritual unity. He's saying there's a closeness of Father and Son. Like, there's this revelation, a revealing of who God is that happens in this union. And he specifically says in these verses that you can see how many times you're in me, I'm in you, they're in us. Look at all that. Look at the wordage, the verbiage here. You think he's really trying to convey a sense of unity? Now, I would say this. Why does Satan attack marriages so hard, churches so hard? Could it be because it's the way that he's revealing who he is to the world? And he's saying this unity is critical. But you can't just like try hard to come up with unity. It's true. It's like you're in me already. I'm telling you this. I'm praying that you would receive this truth and then actually walk in that truth, not in something that's false. And as there's unity in those ways, it speaks more clearly to the unity of who God is. This is really like mind-blowing stuff, I know. This Trinity, this triune relationship, it's amazing. But I'd say this in closing. The last three verses, man, are like, you can just hear the heart of Jesus. And put up those last three verses for us. I don't know what those verses do for you, but the Spirit of God in me like does backflips. And also causes me to not even know what to say in response at the same time. He says, Father, and he says, Righteous Father. It's as if Jesus is closing this prayer saying, you don't know what's about to happen, but I'm about to die. And I'm about to sacrifice my life for you so that you can have this relationship that I have with my Father. All of Christianity is based on the Father-Son relationship. If we don't get that, we miss it. And Jesus is saying, I gave everything so you could experience what I'm praying for and trying to teach you. It's not just that you would know about God. You're ushered into the same harmony of triune relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. Like, I'm dying so that you, and raising again in resurrection power, so you have the hope to know that this is real. And it's not only for now, it's forever. And he says his goal right in that verse. so that I could be with you. He just wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. He's going to great lengths so that we could be ushered into this relationship, so that we could have the same access to the Father that he does, so that we could know him and walk with him, enjoy the relationship, and be a part of helping others step into that. And that's what he's inviting us into, and is real and true. And I'm a part of that now as the body of Christ. I know that's hard to digest and take in, but it's his heart to be with us. Isn't it every good parent's heart to just be with their kids so they know they're loved? So he leaves us his Spirit so he can be with us. He affirms our salvation so we know that we're going to be with him forever someday. Now, Jesus is either coming back, or eventually my earthly life's going to end, but I'm going to be with him forever, amen? And I know that, and I have great confidence in that. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the grace of Jesus and what he's done for me. Because I belong to Jesus. I don't know what's stirring in you, but as you see the flow of all that Jesus prayed for, I don't know what's stirring in you, but your prayer life, you're knowing God, you're walking with Jesus, you're experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever that looks like in your personal life, I'm just telling you that today, man, you want to grow in that joy and that experience of Jesus in that way? Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Start praying. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your kids. Pray with your life group. Pray on Sundays. Don't just pray. And pray with people that know how to pray. Because, you know, Jesus was telling us that his life was praying. You know, like, there's just a communication with God that changes the way I look at every day. And remember, the kingdom expands through discipleship and prayer. Where's my life aligning to that? The disciples in Luke 11 were like, oh, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Why were they so stirred and had a desire to learn to pray? Because they were hanging out with Jesus. And that might be a good place to start. Go to Luke 11, go to Matthew 6, look at the Lord's Prayer, look at every word, every phrase, and just stop and ask, Jesus, what does that mean for me about how I pray? If you're thinking about, what do I do with this now? Man, I'm telling you, praying with others that go after the heart of God is so, what's the word, y'all? Help me out. Oh, fulfilling, thank you, yes. Awesome. There's more words, I can't even come up with them. But you want to experience Jesus? Start praying. And start praying with others that know how to pray. And if something's hindering your connection with God or your communication with God, then there's something in the way. Sign up for Freedom Prayer. Go to our website. Get with another couple believers in your brothers and sisters in Christ in your life group and say, man, I'm stuck here. I need some help. Can we pray and ask Jesus together? Yes. God's desire is that nothing would be in the way to hinder the flow of the love of God. And if there is, let's pray. Right? That should be every one of us' normal lives in Christ. Not just the exception or if it's really bad or if I really need it. This is accessible to us all. Oh, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says, now, all of us, all of y'all, all of us, we can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. That's the access we've been granted now. Right into the very throne room of God. Jump up in Papa's lap, tell him anything and everything you want to know because of what Jesus has done. If that's a new thought, if that's struggling for you, then receive the forgiveness and the cleansing that Jesus Christ paid for you with his blood. so that you could have this relationship. And embrace the power of walking in the realness of his Spirit in a real-time way by connecting with God in this way. It's the joy and the beauty of getting to walk with Jesus like this. Why don't you close your eyes? We're just going to close with this. God, what are you stirring in my heart about my prayer life or my connection with you? Just ask him to remind you or bring to mind what it is you want to walk away with that you know is for you and on your heart. Jesus, you said that your house is a house of prayer. There's all kinds of prayers we can pray. Would you awaken a heart to connect with you in prayer? Would you awaken a heart to be a conduit of your power in the world and in the lives of our family? We acknowledge, God, we repent of only coming to you when we really need something. And you love to hear our concerns. And so you're always gracious to receive whenever we do come to you. But would you give us a heart to pray for your glory, for a deeper knowing of you? I'm more clearly representing you to the world. Whatever it is you put on each person's heart this morning, I pray that they would share that with someone they care about to encourage them, and that they would just start praying. You love to hear us come talk and come to you. And you love to speak to us, to strengthen us and encourage us and comfort us. Show us how to receive that more and go to you more quickly. You're so full of grace, God. We thank you. Thank you for these people, Lord. Thank you for the gathering of the saints this morning. We pray that we would realize and walk into the joy of prayer. In your name, amen.